text, and that lesson is taken from John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Well, as many of you know, I started out my career for 37 years as an elementary school teacher. And I really don't believe there's that much difference between being a teacher and a preacher. But I got the best advice from my critic teacher, my advising teacher, when I was doing student teaching. And I had a classroom of third graders, and she told me, "Mike, always think through your lesson very well and be prepared. Have everything you need. Because don't think of these as young children. Think of them as cats." And that's exactly what they were. So today's lesson is entitled Be Prepared. And this was a sermon that I wrote to have in my back pocket, knowing that someday Pastor Don may be under the weather or called out of town. So be prepared. I really enjoy working with teens and young adults. Most of them are fearless, they feel invincible, and they wholeheartedly embrace change. But many of them fail to plan for the future. They wing it with hardly a thought about how things may turn out. Be prepared. These same young folks are amazed when someone from an older generation like mine plans ahead. I always try to model planning in advance and avoid procrastination at all costs. An example of this is when I coached a soccer team. I always had my eyes wide open as to who could replace a player who needed to leave the team, especially when we approached high school with all those added requirements and opportunities that faced my boys. Be prepared. I remember when the boys were juniors in high school, it was rumored that our goalie was going to leave due to some additional time commitments that he was going to pursue. A few members of the team approached me and asked, "Coach, what are you going to do?" I told them that I had already approached a young adult who was a goalie and now was a goalie in college to work with one of them to prepare them as our new goalie. So they questioned me. They said, "Coach, how are you going to choose from the boys on our team? Will it be based on height, arm width, or agility?" "Yes," I said, "we're going to take a look at all those things. But there's one quality that I'm looking for that's even more important than those three." And so, of course, they asked me, "What is it, Coach?" And I said, "I'm looking for somebody a bit crazy." Because when you think about it, to be a goalie, to have somebody kick a ball at you, maybe going 80 miles an hour, you have to be a little crazy to do that. Be prepared. We all need to prepare for the future. We must continuously assess our current health status, know our availability concerning our finances, and we must monitor our housing needs and how those may change on a year-to-year basis and plan for our spiritual eternity. Be prepared. You see, we all have an appointment with Jesus. It may come at the time of our final breath, or when Jesus decides to return to claim us as we go about our daily life. And like today's sermon, it is an appointment that we cannot pencil in on our calendars, post on our computers, or save on our phones with an alarm to warn us when it's time. We simply need to be prepared. Mark 13:32-33 records the words of Jesus. "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come." Now, two things are certain. We don't know when always being in a state of readiness. Luke 12, 35 through 36 states, "Be ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him." This reminds me of my wife, Lynn, and the concern she has for our young adult children whenever they're out and about in the evening. And she really has difficulty going to bed not knowing if they're in the house or not. Now, it's a whole different thing when our kids are away from home and on their own at college, or they're on a mission trip or staying with a friend. She can't be alert because she doesn't have a clue about when they will return. Why should she be alert to something that she doesn't know exactly when it will happen? So that probably describes most of us Christians. If we are honest, we probably do not believe that Christ will return today, or we will die before the sun sets. If we become aware of the Lord's presence in our lives, it will change our perspective and change how we live and prioritize things in our lives. Verse 38 says, "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night." And that's the middle of the night or early morning. Jesus tells us we will be blessed if we are ready. So what does that look like? We will be ready if we are not hypocritical, but sincere, tells us that in verse 1. Not fearful, but ready to witness in verses 4 through 9. Not worried, but trustful, verses 25 through 26. And not greedy, but generous, verse 34. And not lazy, but diligent, verse 37. Be prepared. In verses 39 through 40, Jesus tells us, "But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken in. You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The thief would not be stopped only by watching, but also by the individual being prepared. If we do not expect Jesus to come in the near future or to take us home in the next few breaths, not only will we be inattentive, but we will also be unprepared." I do remember doing a lesson with my youth group a few years ago when I was a youth director, and once again, I had a great discussion going with the youth about, we were talking about what would you do if you only had 24 hours left to live. I still remember one teen, and it may have been Chris, said he would spend the entire period with his family. Another one said they would definitely make things right with God. I really felt this discussion was going in the right direction until one of the girls replied, "I'd go to another doctor and get a second opinion." So you've got to love Peter in verse 41 when he says, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" Jesus does something that he often does. He answers a question with another question. Jesus is referring to the parable of the talents. We need to be faithful and wise managers, properly doling out what is needed at the right time so that we can be put in charge of many other things. This was referred to when I preached a few months ago a sermon called Transaction or Transformation. We need to ask ourselves, after what Jesus did for me, am I giving all that I possibly can to serve others in his name while giving him all the glory? Reminds me of a Christian bumper sticker I once saw. It said, "Jesus is coming back. Get busy." Jesus concludes the series of parables in verses 45 through 48 with the warning. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. From everyone who has been given much, much more will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Jesus gives us free choice in how we utilize our time. But he does command us to encourage one another. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 tells us, let us hold unswerving to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Be prepared. I am not about rushing a person to be grafted into the life of Jesus, professing him as their Lord and Savior. It is God and God only who chooses those that he wishes to call his children. But scattering seed is something we can and all must do. The last thing I would want to have on my conscience is that God allowed me an opportunity to share a testimony about the difference he has made in my life, but that I was too timid or too busy to share it with a non-believer. To quote a wonderful song from the Motown area of my teen years, sung by the Chambers Brothers, and then re-recorded later by Rod Stewart. People, get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels coming. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. People, get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's room for all among the loved the most. People, get ready.